on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Vanciel.
Cody, it was a interesting bye week, to say the least. How did you enjoy your bye week?
Man, I was sitting on my couch pretty much the entire day on Saturday. I just kicked back and just sat on the quad stream. I had YouTube TV up and running, got some food, and then I was just sitting on my – I literally was just laying on my couch all day watching college football.
Dude, I did the same thing, and it was glorious. Like, stress-free football is the best football. You know what? With that, let's get into the action yesterday because, man, there were some – there are a few results that I want to talk about real quick.
Should we just rip the band-aid off right now with Friday's results?
Yes.
My Gundy man. Oh no. Things are looking really bad down in Stillwater. As you can see if you're on the stream watching the stream, Tulsa went into Stillwater, Oklahoma and beat the Oklahoma State Cowboys 19-12. This is Tulsa's first win in Stillwater since 1951, and their first win over Oklahoma State since, I think, the 90s. They had lost, like, the last 10 previous games in a row before Friday night. So things are looking really, really down for Mike Gundy and the Pokes.
Yeah, it is not good. I think it's a matter of when he's going to get let go. It is not looking good up and down in Stillwater.
Yeah, and I mean – I think the thing for Oklahoma State is I feel like for Mike Gundy, I don't think they're going to – I think I heard this somewhere, but I don't think they're going to outright fire him in the middle of the season. They're probably going to let him go out, like, at the end of the year, kind of have, like, the whole – they're not going to do what was it TCU did Gary Patterson. And they're going to give Mike Gundy a more honorable, like, dismissal. Like, they're going to let him go out, like, on his, like – on his like sword, give him like all the hippity hoorah in the pomp and circumstance. Probably have the field named after him because of what he's done at Oklahoma State. And he's done for like 20 plus years. He's done so much for Oklahoma State and that football team. I mean, got them to heights they never seen like in a long time or a while. And I mean, Mike Gundy's just one of those guys that like, you kind of want to play for because that dude, he was just brutally honest and he's like, I feel like his like heyday, he was a guy you wanted to play for because he understood what it took to coach up young men. And he felt like a guy you wanted to play for because he wasn't necessarily the most cookie cutter kind of guy. He was brutally honest. I mean, we all know his iconic moments of him as coach. Obviously you had the, I'm 40. That line from a press conference, that's iconic.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Exactly. So seeing that and then seeing the stuff that Gundy has done over the years, I mean, I think I saw like he went out fishing one time, also had a shirt out during an Oklahoma State pep rally. So he did a lot of things for Oklahoma State. So I'm thinking they're going to – I think the administration. And plus, I heard that his buyout was like $15 million. So if you're going to try to buy him out, not only would you have to pay that, but then you also pay – possibly for a new coach and a bunch of other players you gotta pay for, which will easily run you up like 25 to 35, even $40 million. And Oklahoma State's in a position like Iowa State where you don't necessarily aren't necessarily swimming in cash. So I think Oklahoma State is gonna take the route of letting him finish through the season, see what he can do in his last hurrah. And I mean, he has a chance he has a chance for a full circle moment. I saw some people concerned about this, and I want y'all to shut up. I do not need that, Matt. I do not need that voodoo instilled in me.
Yes, right now. I do not need that voodoo magic, y'all. Stop all that.
Yeah, we're obviously referring to Iowa State traveling down to Stillwater at the end of the regular season, November 29th. Iowa State, presuming that they, like, as it stands right now, Iowa State is going to be highly ranked. They may have one loss, only probably like the TCU, or perhaps go undefeated. Call me crazy. But people are saying that Oklahoma State would have an opportunity to do what they did, what Iowa State did in 2011. But we'll have to just – I don't want to think about it until we get to that game week, so I'm not even going to worry about it right now. So,
yeah,
we got to worry about that. But, I mean, for Oklahoma State, I mean, they – yeah, there's a lot of things that needs like to be done because like they're struggling. They were like in a very, very tough decision. They're in a tough spot, and I think some of the things that have happened ever since Gundy took him to that 21 Big 12 title, I think a lot. I don't know. Let me play the domino effect game. If Oklahoma State gets that fourth and goal touchdown in the 21 Big 12 title game, do you think we're talking about Mike Gundy in this position today?
No. Oh no. No, because then you'd be coming off of at that point 21. You go in and you win the Big 12 title. You're talking about possibly a playoff appearance at 12-1.
I presumably would think you would take a one loss Big 12 champion over an undefeated Cincinnati. So right. You would have that. And I mean, do you think that Oklahoma State team would have made it competitive against Alabama?
Man, I don't know. That'd be tough. That 21 Alabama team, it was good. Probably not. But the fact that they still would have made the playoff, a playoff team at that point, other than Oklahoma, who was consistently carrying the flag for the Big 12 in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll never know.
But I mean, that's just like one of many things in the domino effect. So really tough times in Stillwater. And unfortunately, real quick, an unsuccessful hate watch as well at the same time. Oh, man. But it's a win-win for us. Yes, I would have wanted the hate watch, but hey, it's a win-win because our win over Iowa, because they went into New Jersey and beat the Rutgers Scarlet Knights 38-28. Mark Kanowski actually had a pretty good game. And it makes our win look a little better. It makes our win against them a little better.
I think the shocker in this one is that the under didn't hit. If you bet, this is probably one of the like most shocking losses you had. You're like, wait a minute, Iowa scored 38 points. What,
dude? Well, I was watching this first half. I was like, wait a minute, what the hell is this? Wait, what?
Dude, since when the over almost hit in the first half.
Yeah, I was watching this. I'm like, wait a minute. Am I in an alternate universe? Am I in one of the other universes that Doctor Strange mentioned? Because what realistic universe would Iowa and Rutgers be in a shootout in the first half? It did kind of quell to the mean in the second half, but still, you watch that first half, you're thinking, oh my god. What? Who would have thought that this game would have hit the over? And man. I mean, what was it at? Like, what was it, a kickoff? Like 40? What was it? 40 something and a half?
It was like a 45 and a half, I think.
46. And Iowa almost hit it off their own. What? But yeah, I mean, I will. Like, I have to like just see because, yeah, Mark Gronowski. I mean, he didn't necessarily have like the passing, but he was running it well. And Caden Weechen, you talk about it from the beginning. Like, they set the tone. Caden Weechen takes the kickoff just basically on a straight line, like he's running a 100-meter dash, like he's Usain Bolt in the Olympics. He just straight dashed, 100-meter dash right into the end zone. And I think that set the tone for how the game was going to go. Because, I mean, that thing was a shootout in the first half. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of regressed to the mean in the third quarter. But then things got really interesting in the fourth, where Rutgers took a 20-24 lead with about 10 minutes to go, and then Iowa was able to just pour it onto Rutgers late, and they win that game by 10. So, I mean, yeah, I would hate it if you had the under, but if you had Iowa spread,
I certainly put Iowa spread. That spread felt like it was a little too close.
Because
I was just thinking, like, Iowa, because Rutgers hadn't proven to me at that point they can beat Iowa. So until they could have proved it to me that they didn't, but Iowa found a way to win it. And yeah, 3-1 of the year. And boy, oh boy, they're going to have like some pretty good competition coming up. But man, this Saturday slate was so much fun.
We got to talk about this.
We went right to Iowa's next opponent, Indiana, a top 20 matchup in the Big Ten, but Indiana made Illinois look like a JV squad. They welcomed the Fighting Illini and Fernando Mendoza and Kurt Cignetti. Kurt Cignetti was just smoking on the Illini pack. Basically, we talk about Fernando Mendoza, almost perfect, 21 for 23 with 5 touchdowns. Then Martin, Kobe Martin with 12 carries, 2 touchdowns, however, 7 yards. Surratt with 92 yards and 2 touchdowns. But I got to talk about the special teams, dude. They got a blocked punt for a touchdown. I was like, oh no, this is not good for Illinois. If that's how the game starts, if that's how the first score goes, I'm like, oh no. Illinois is in for a long one.
Yeah, I mean, I think Indiana is just really good. Indiana is not going anywhere with the NIL backing that they have. Indiana is going to be good at football in this area. So I guess this is just something that we're going to have to get used to Indiana is being good. But here's what we're going to play, a quick clip. Here is what Kirk Cignetti said about Illinois after the game.
I see the quote. I already know. This is going to be gold.
Drop whatever you're doing right now. The Wendy's $8 JBC meal deal is here. That's 2 junior bacon cheeseburgers, medium fries.
No.
The Wendy's ad.
We'll put that.
I mean, hey, I don't know if anybody in Indiana went to Wendy's after it, but I probably wouldn't be surprised if they went to Wendy's after.
And I thought our defensive line could whip their offensive line, and we did. And they came out and played with tempo early, and give him time to throw. He's going to get the ball where it's got to go. And I think the sacks were huge. The block punt got us going. And then they couldn't stop us. They couldn't match up on the perimeter. And then, you know, we broke their will and just pounded them.
I think that's what it was, man.
Yeah, he said it perfectly. Broke their will. I mean, he talked about the lines for Indiana dominating Illinois, and that's what it was. That's a lot of what came down to, like, how the game played. Because Indiana in that game had 7 total sacks in the game, 10 tackles for losses, and then, obviously had the special the punt block for the touchdown. So, yeah, it was just Indiana being the more physical team, and they physically dominated Illinois. And yeah, Kurt Cignetti said it best. He broke their will. And that's sometimes what you got to do. Like, that's sometimes what you do to teams. Like, when you're the more physical team, you're going to break them down and break their will and break their spirit. And Indiana, this matchup for Indiana traveling to Kinnick Stadium, I'm really interested. Like, that's going to be really interesting. I'm curious to see how Iowa. It's like offensive line is going to match up against that defensive line. That's going to be a fun matchup to watch coming up Saturday. But there's a lot more to talk about on the national slate. LSU takes care of business against Southeast Louisiana. Garrett Nussmeier having a pretty solid game with 273 passing yards. He also threw for 3 touchdowns. So a pretty good day for Garrett Nussmeier. They just went and took care of business. Miami, this game was a bit closer than expected, but it never really felt like Florida had the chance to get in this game. And Miami takes care of the Florida Gators 26-7. And yeah, go ahead.
I got a few thoughts on this game. Florida's defense is legit. Their offense stinks, and I mean now you're 1-3, and I don't even know what you do. Like, what do you even do now? Because now like you're 1-3, and I think what you go into a bye, and then you got to play Texas, and then Texas comes into the Swamp. This is going to get worse and worse for Florida. I don't know where they go from here.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule, and I don't know where you're going to find a win because yeah, you mentioned it. I think they're on a bye, but this is the remainder of their schedule: hosting Texas in the Swamp, number 10 Texas. They're at number 9 Texas A&M.
Oh no!
They host Mississippi State, who is looking a little better. Like obviously, they have that win over Arizona State. They're looking a little better, I'd say. Then you got the world's largest outdoor cocktail party against number 5 Georgia Bulldogs.
Ugh.
You're at Kentucky. You're at number 13 Ole Miss. You host number 15 Tennessee, and then you host number 8 Florida State. That's the main. There's a real possibility that this Florida team goes 1-11. There's a real possibility.
Oh no! This is the worst case scenario.
Where do you see a win for Florida?
I can't find one, bro. I really can't, dude. This is insane. That is a murderer's row schedule. I don't know.
You remember when last year when we saw Florida's schedule and like how crazy that was, but they somehow managed to overachieve? I think this is even worse, and they're not going to get the same roll of the dice they did last year. Unless somehow, some way, DJ Lagway just goes into God mode and saves Billy Napier. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, if going to happen.
I'm surprised Billy Napier is still here. I thought they would have fired him today or something. Yeah, but if that's not the case... At some point, it's not a question of if Billy Napier gets fired. It's a question of when. And let me put this right now. I made a joke with a few friends, like, because I'm in a group chat with them. Obviously, they know me as, like, for the shit that I do at football games, dressed up as Matt Campbell. They're like, please, we need you at Florida. My God. They said, we'll give you everything. Please, Matt Campbell, come to Florida. I was like,
Oh, no.
I don't even know if Matt Campbell wants to deal with that mess down in Gainesville.
Matt Campbell doesn't want to deal with that fan base. There's no way.
Nope. Okay. Okay. So moving on. Let's move on to that. Let me clean the stench off.
Yeah. Let's go down to the Big 12 game of the week. Texas Tech pulls away and beats Utah at Utah 34-10. This game was. I'm not gonna lie. Excuse my language, but this game was an absolute shit show in the first half, dude. There was turnover after turnover after turnover after turnover after turnover after turnover. And listen, it was 10-3, Texas Tech.
Yeah, listen, if you were a defensive sicko, a psychopath who really loves defense, that first half was for you. And, I mean, if you had the under in this game, that first half makes you feel really comfortable about it because, yeah, Texas Tech and Utah just traded turnovers. And, I mean, Bear Morton, what are you doing? Bro got himself injured twice in this game. I believe, yeah. Oh, he gets injured in the fourth quarter, comes out for, like, a bit, goes back into the second quarter, and then he is out for the rest of the game. And we're just – I think people are watching, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? But anyways, I mean, after that, Will Hammond comes in, the 5-star freshman who is the backup for Bear Morton. He comes in. He actually has a pretty good showing. 13 for 16, 169 yards for 2 touchdowns. And he led Texas Tech to a very dominant fourth quarter where they just pulled away. And I mean, there's no doubt they are the number one team in the Big 12 after making Devin Dampier look like a high school quarterback. They made Dampier look terrible in this game. This Texas Tech defense, we talked about dominating the trenches in Illinois and Indiana. Texas Tech's lines just dominated Utah, and that's what helped really wear down Utah's defense. And, yeah, that fourth quarter outscoring Utah 24-7.
Here's a fun fact. Utah still has yet to win a home game as a member of the Big 12 Conference.
Boy. Remember when all that talk of Utah running the Big 12 and saying that the Big 12 was like the truck stop conference and that it was a stepping stone for them going to the Big 10? That has not aged well so far. And they're lucky that they beat the crap out of UCLA, but that's not saying much because they looked like UCLA in that fourth quarter. Good Lord.
It sure did. It is ugly.
That was the
all right. Ugly. That was ugly. And I mean, and next week they're at West Virginia. So I mean, West Virginia is going to be a pissed off team after just getting their doors blown off by Kansas. KU just comes out of that bye week and absolutely rolls them. Where is that game?
Yeah.
I've
got it here. Yeah. Kansas. Yeah. So Kansas Jayhawks coming off the bye week after losing in the border war to Mizzou. They came out swinging. And in that, like that first half, yeah, it was just all Kansas. This game was just all Kansas. No doubt about it. 405 total yards. 33 minutes of possession. Jalen Daniels, 12 of 24, only 50% passing, but he got 3 touchdowns in the day. And you include LaShawn Williams, the former Iowa Hawkeye, having a pretty solid day with 129 yards off of 19 carries and a touchdown. So they just came in and just dominated West Virginia. And Kansas is the team to look out for because Jalen Daniels, he didn't have to really do too much. And, I mean, that's probably pretty good for Lance Lightbone Company. And people talked about it. Kansas is someone to look out for. And I know, obviously, Iowa State is looking out for them because, I mean, Kansas had her number the last few years. But the time comes, we're going to talk about we'll get to them, like, when the time comes. But I think Kansas can definitely, like, make some noise as, like, probably, like, in the top half of the Big 12. I don't know if they would make it to the to Arlington, but I think they could play the role they did last year and just create absolute chaos again.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, we're gonna look at two more scores and because we have a whole bunch to cover today. Cody, man, I don't know what Vegas was thinking, but they made Wisconsin a double digit point favorite at home. But Maryland is victorious as the Terrapins move to 4-0, 27-10. I don't know if you were listening or on Twitter. The fans were chanting "Fire Fickle" as this Wisconsin team continues to struggle. Wisconsin is an absolute dumpster fire, Cody.
Yeah, no, I was watching this. This is one of the games I had on the quad. So I was sitting watching this. I could hear the Fire Fickle chants. Ugh. Just an absolute crapshoot over in Madison. And, yeah, Malik Washington, I think in the Big Ten, I think Malik Washington, freshman, some people are saying that he could potentially make a run as a Heisman potential. Because, I mean, looking at the season so far, he's got 1,000 yards passing, 8 TDs, only 1 pick. And in that game against Wisconsin, he went for 265 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. So, who knows? Malik Washington's on the rise in the Big Ten, and Maryland could potentially create some noise. And if I'm looking at their schedule, they've got Washington, Nebraska, UCLA, and then they got a who's number 11, Indiana. So, they have a pretty solid 3-game stretch before they have to host Kirk Cignetti and company.
Oh boy!
So who knows?
Did you see Wisconsin's like 6-game stretch?
Oh wait! I'm looking at it right now. Hold on. Oh no! Oh no!
They might finish 2-10, dude. Like
no, I'm looking at the remainder of their schedule. So this is Wisconsin's remainder. They're at number 19, Michigan. They host Iowa, who with Mark Gronowski is looking much better. I think he's gained more confidence. So that might be bad for the Big Ten. Mark Gronowski
might be.
It's bad for them. Then they got to host number one Ohio State. And then they're at the Autzen Zoo. They host Washington. They're at Indiana. They host Illinois. And then they're at Minnesota to end the year. Oh, God. I generally think this could be a 2-10 or 4-8 year unless Luke Fickell finds a way to beat something like the likes, some like Michigan, Iowa, Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, Illinois. If he manages to beat at least one of those, I would be surprised, and they would have a 5-7 year. And I'm assuming that they beat Washington and Minnesota, because Washington and Minnesota don't necessarily look the most impressive to me.
And lastly, we're going to look at this score. Syracuse wins 34-21 as Clemson moves to 1-3.
God.
May I remind all the viewers that Clemson was a national championship favorite. Some people's even choice to even win the national championship, and now they're just 1-3. Cody, what do the Clemson Tigers even do now?
I honestly don't know. I mean, Kane Klubnik looked okay. Like, he actually had a pretty solid day, 363 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick, but just, man, they gave up 435 yards of total offense, and the two turnovers. They had two turnovers in that game too, and that kind of killed them. So they just looking at I'm at a loss for words for how bad this has gone for Clemson real fast. And looking at Clemson, a lot of these games feel like they should be winnable, but right now, I don't know. Because, I mean, they're at North Carolina and at Boston College. I feel like those are winnable games, but who knows? Then they have a 3-game stretch where they host SMU, Duke, and Florida State. They're at Louisville. They host Furman. And then they're at South Carolina on rivalry week. So, I don't know, man. And then you hear with Dabo Swinney. Like, Dabo Swinney has just had a really – this is a wild time for Dabo Swinney and company, because I'm trying to remember his press conference. He was going off during his press conference, I believe.
That's what happens when you try to, you don't like adapt with the times. Just like you said, like we said on our first ever podcast episode, it's either you evolve or you die. So it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I mean, I'm going to gloss over some of these other results that we don't have up here real quick. Oregon takes care of Oregon State in the Civil War. Florida State rolls Kent State. Texas shuts out Sam Houston. Arch Manning has a pretty good day with his 309 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. So it looks like some confidence is back for Arch Manning at the helm. John Mateer spoils Jackson Arnold's homecoming to Norman, as Oklahoma beats Auburn 24-17. Ole Miss rolls over Tulane 45-10. Tennessee rolls over UAB 56-24. Georgia Tech with a 45-24 win over Temple. Vanderbilt puts up 70 on Georgia State. Diego Pavia. Yeah. So measure of revenge there for Vanderbilt. Michigan squeaks by Nebraska. 30-27. That game was on CBS. Mizzou squeaks by. Like, they get past. They hold off South Carolina 29-20. Notre Dame gets their first win of the year as they beat Purdue 56-30. And the University of Southern California Trojans take care of the Michigan State Spartans. They win 45-31. And, yeah, that was just your top 25. So, obviously the movement, but it looks like, I somehow managed to stay up to watch that USC Michigan State game because it was going around the same time as Colorado.
All right. Thank you for that, Cody. We're going to move on to a different segment. We're going to talk about expectations. With that being said, Cody, what are your expectations for the next three games?
I'm looking at these next three games here for Iowa State. Obviously, they start this 3-game stretch out of the bye week. hosting Arizona on ESPN. This will be the whiteout game. So if you're going to Jack Trice Stadium, you're going to be at the game. Get your whiteout gear. Find your best white Iowa State gear and make it look like. I mean, last year's whiteout over against Baylor was really good. It looked really nice. So I would love for that to happen again. So it's another whiteout at night at 6 o'clock, and then two road games for the Cyclones as they travel to Cincinnati and at Colorado. And I think for Iowa State, you gotta come out of this 3-0. I think Arizona will definitely be the toughest game out of the three, because Arizona's looking pretty good. But I mean, you still have the expectation of being 3-0 and being 7-0 heading to your bye week before you host BYU for homecoming.
Yeah, I would say my expectation for these next three games would be to win all of them. And yeah, get go in and get all the stuff you need to done during the bye week, and let's get rolling and take a look. All right, and let's get rolling and make this a magical season that we all want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and I mean, I know I'm gonna hop back to like talking about the Big 12. I mean, yeah, we mentioned some of the teams there with Colorado. But looking at the rest of the Big 12, we had to talk about the battle for the Iron Skillet. TCU,
yes.
They're looking pretty good. Aaron McAllister, what a day for the wide receiver for the Horned Frogs. Josh Huber, 379 passing yards and multiple touchdowns. Five touchdowns on the day for Josh Huber, 302 for 40, 379. TCU wins the battle for the Iron Skillet over SMU, 35-24. But yeah, Aaron McAllister, 254 yards off of 8 receptions and 3 touchdowns. And Aaron McAllister came on in the fourth quarter, scoring 2 touchdowns, 2 long touchdowns too. So TCU is definitely looking like one of the teams to really challenge for the Big 12 crown. And I'm not surprised by that. They look really good. Like, they look really good. This is a pretty well-balanced team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they make a run to Arlington.
No, I completely agree. And then in other Big 12 news, man, why don't you talk to us about Central Florida or UCF?
Oh, boy. I mean, Central Florida, obviously, they steamroll Bill Belichick's North Carolina Tar Heels 34-9. Taven Jackson had a pretty good day, 25-32 for 223 yards and a passing touchdown. He also added 66 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown as well. So this was just an overall domination from start to finish for Central Florida. And there's probably a good reason why we keep, like, and obviously there's a lot of drama. Like, a lot of the game was great, but more of the drama comes from the post game press conference.
Yeah.
Because boy, oh boy, Scott Frost had some things to say. I'm going to try to find it here, but I mean, he was asked, like, basically about, like, why Central Florida goes by UCF and not Central Florida. And, I mean, basically he's saying, like, the quote he says is, like, all right, hold on. I think I have the clip. I'm going to try to share this because.
Okay.
Yeah. Here we go. All right. Let me know if you can hear it.
And I'm adding this to the stage. All right, go ahead.
You hear that, or
I can't hear it. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't hear anything. Yeah, I don't know if you can hear it on your end, but...
No, I can hear it on him. But basically, to summarize what he's saying is that, yeah, he's tired of being disrespected by being called Central Florida. He's saying that they're not Central Florida, they're UCF. He's using the disrespect as ammo. And he talked about, like, UCF, like, Central Florida last in the Big 12 and things like that. And let's just say Chris Williams got... Like, he just put out a tweet saying, I have never understood the UCF thing. And boy, oh boy, did that the Golden Knight fan base go at. They've been after Chris Williams all day. Like, they've been go at him for the last like 24 hours or so. I mean, this one guy talks about the U stands for University, the C stands for Central, the S stands for Florida. You buy it all three, you get UCF, you're welcome. But, like, wait. Yeah, and I mean, somehow, and now all of a sudden, Chris Williams is in a war with all of, like, the Central Florida fans about, like, what they like to be called and whatever. So that's been all over the place. I mean, he's gotten clowned. Even Chris Hassel has gotten clowned. His Iowa Everywhere co-host. So,
yeah.
And that's something, like, I get it. You want to be, like, you want to go by UCF, but you know people are going to still call you Central Florida because that makes sense. And I just never understood the uprightery of being like, oh, we only go by UCF. We don't like to be called Central Florida. Don't ever call us that. Like, you get so, like, I don't know what it is with some of the fan, like the Golden Knight fans that get so butthurt when they get called Central Florida. It's like you're saying, it's like if you say Central Florida to them, it's considered hate speech to them. Like, what? Right. You, like, really? You know people call you Central Florida because it makes a lot of sense. And that's another thing. What's up with these, like, Florida directional schools? And this is a tweet that Chris Hassel said. He said here, Florida directional schools insisting we use an acronym that most people around the country do not identify with is one of the worst brand moves I've seen. And he's talking about, like, UCF, USF, South Florida, FIU, like Florida International, and Florida Atlantic University. He said, this isn't the way to build your brand. Central Florida is more identical, is more identifiable than UCF. And yeah, and obviously the Golden Knight fans are coming after him too. So it's like, I'm going to be real. Like, does anybody, like, here's the thing. Imagine if you were to call Nebraska UNL.
Who does that?
You're one letter away from calling them UNLV. And I'd like, and let's see what else we got. I mean, you've got South Dakota, North Dakota, North Dakota State, South Dakota State. We're talking FCS. That's another thing. I'm trying to think of other. Like, we have Eastern Michigan and Western Michigan. I don't call
Central them. Michigan.
Yeah, Central Michigan. Yes. There's so many other universities that have directions in their name, but they still, like, and the thing is, I'm looking at one of their Twitter, like, posts, literally said at Central, so they literally have Central in their name. And I saw, and I heard one of the players, like, during, like, one of their media videos, they literally called it Central Florida. So I'm like, if literally the players are saying it too, and it makes a logical sense, then why why are you insistent on calling your school by your acronyms? It's like Iowa State fans being like, oh, we only want to go by ISU. We don't ever want to go by Iowa State. Or like, what was that face? Was that your rich snob face? Was that?
No, that was my hiding a yawn face.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just doing the rich snob accent at the same time. I thought you were just making a play on it too. So the title of that was funny, but I mean, I'm still railing about this. I mean, what else can you say? Like, imagine calling West Virginia WVU. Like, okay, nobody calls them that. We call them West Virginia for a reason.
So, exactly.
I'm tired of this. Like, listen, you can want to be called by, like, UCF or whatever the case, but don't get butthurt when people call you Central Florida or South Florida, Florida International, Florida Atlantic. Because that's the name of the university at the end of the day. At the end of the day, your official university name is University of Central Florida. People are going to call it Central Florida.
You are going to get called that, and you are going to like it. Yeah. So there's a few more things I wanted to talk about. I wanted to get into Iowa State's schedule with you tonight. Like, we talked about what our expectations were for that, but we are going to we're really going to take a look into the rest of their schedule and give our thoughts on what we think is going to, what the rest of the season holds for us. So obviously we are done with the first quarter, or at least the first third of this season. And we ended at 4-0. These next three games are crucial, but I want to look at this stretch. Cody, would it be accurate to say that this three-game stretch from October 25th to November 8th is going to be a time where this could define the season?
I'd say for sure. Yeah, I'm looking at a BYU squad, and I mean, they went in, like, I looked at their latest game. They went into East Carolina, and I knew some people thought that East Carolina could lay a trap, and BYU did not fall for the trap. They went into East Carolina and took care of business. They won that game 34-13. So, I mean, BYU was on the climb. Like, they're on the climb for sure. Just looking at how they're playing not too bad. And Bear Meyer, like the new quarterback for BYU, Bachmeyer, is not looking too shabby. And I mean, gonna be an interesting. That's an interesting spot for us to play them, because obviously we're coming off the bye, and BYU is going to be coming off a highly emotional holy war with Utah. And who knows how that game is going to end up? Devin Dampier versus Bear Bachmeyer. Like, who knows how that holy war is going to end up? So, if we catch, like, if Iowa State can catch BYU off of an emotional win, then that's going to look good for them. And then they're going to have some confidence heading into the Arizona State game. And Arizona State is right back in the saddle to defend the Big 12 title after their 27-24 win at Baylor with a walk-off field goal. Sam Levitt is looking really good as the quarterback. He led that team on that game-winning drive, so he's really shown. I think Arizona State has shown that Mississippi State game is not indicative of who they are, and it shows that they weren't just reliant on Cam Scattergood last year. Now there's gonna be a lot more games to play in between, but right now Arizona State is looking like a much better game because of how they played.
And Arizona State has been out of sync. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
I will say though that Arizona State has been sort of out of sync. But yeah, I think these bye weeks come at like the opportune times, because you look at this three-game stretch after BYU, Arizona State, and TCU. We have another bye week, and we finish off against KU and Oklahoma State. And I'm honestly just looking at if we do what we need to do and get the 7-0. I mean, you want to look at other teams' schedules. Like, I believe Texas Tech also has to play Houston. They have to play Arizona State. So these are all body blow games. Like, we'll know probably by November 8th who's going to be in this race. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fantastic finish to see who reigns supreme, Cody.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, now that we're basically for the Big 12, we're in the full conference play. It's no more out of conference like games or whatever. This is shaping up to be a really fun conference season, and there's just not much more I could say. But now, like it's officially game week. Oh man, I am so excited for this shit. Sign me up, and I know it's only Sunday.
But you froze.
Crazy. Shut that off.
We've had difficulties.
Yeah.
All right, Cody, welcome back. Sorry about this, guys. Technical difficulties is what happens when you live stream. But yeah, I don't even know what you said, man.
Oh, I think I basically just said, like, now that we're in like bowl conference play in the Big 12, every game is going to matter. Like, I think every game is going to matter because there are so many like pathways on how it's going to go. I mean, you mentioned Texas Tech. Yeah, they are at Houston.
They host Kansas. They're at Arizona State. They host BYU. So that's a pretty good game for them. Utah is looking to rebound and take a look at their schedule as a contender. They do host Arizona State. They're at BYU for the Holy War. And then they're at Baylor. And Baylor's trending downward a little bit, so not too high on them. But TCU, obviously mentioned, Iowa State has to travel there. They do host – no, they're at Arizona State on Friday, so that's going to be one to look out for. They are at Houston. They also have games hosting Baylor. And then they're at BYU, so a lot of things to look out for in this conference season.
And yeah, dude, I mean, there's a whole lot of body blow games. And I will say, I think, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. 1 second, guys. Oh, okay. All right. So I was saying, I think one of the teams who I think is going to be important down this stretch, as crazy as it sounds, could be Kansas State. Like, if Kansas State could maybe go on a crazy run, like if they win like maybe four or five in a row, and then let's say K-State can get like Baylor, they could knock them out. They also play Tech, they can knock them out. So like stretch of games where they could go out and just run roughshod like Kansas did, and then maybe like finish out and fizzle out and be like 6-6. Like I think that might be the type of team that K-State could be this year. So K-State could definitely decide the Big 12 race, and maybe like really into form by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned that stretch. They do also host TCU during that stretch, because they have a stretch at Baylor, host TCU at Kansas, and then they host Texas Tech. So they can pick off Texas Tech and or TCU. That can throw some wrinkles into the race.
Yeah. And, you know, lastly, to finish off the show, Cody, what do you think, what needs to be done for Iowa State to get to their goals for this, for the rest of the season?
I think it's just like needing some, like, obviously, number one is to really like get some breakout performances and some step ups from the wide receiver core. You obviously know what you have a running back, and you obviously know what you have a tight end. I think it's got to be either Xavier Townsend and or Chase Soule really steps up at the wide receiver group and really becomes like a reliable wideout for the group. And it'd be nice if both of those guys can really like make an impact. But if at least one of those guys makes an impact for this team, I think that'll be really helpful. Number two is the defense can continue to be like who they are. Obviously, like some people want, like obviously some more pressure, but I think you can find like John Hickok's going to find creative ways to get pressure on QBs. And obviously really have your linebackers and you want your front seven to continue making plays because what you don't have in the secondary, but you want your front seven to really make some plays defensively. So Tommy Sacks, tackles for loss, and maybe create some turnovers as well. That'll be huge for Iowa State's defense. And then for special teams, hope Conrady gets healthy, because, God, things will be really bad. I can't believe we're in a world. God, just when we thought things were going well, Conrady had like his injury, but hopefully even with him being out, Taylor Mauser, like, I think there's going to be some adaptations and might see more of, like, being aggressive on fourth down in situations you normally send out Conrardi and things like that. And who knows, maybe Chase Smith can hit a few kicks for us, but he doesn't need to replicate what Conrardi does. He just needs to be a reliable enough kicker for us to not have to really worry about our kicking game.
Yeah, those are all great points, Cody. I think for me, number one is definitely going to be the receivers need to step up, man. X needs to continue what he's doing. I think we're going to see a whole lot of Chase Soul. I think also we need to look out for Carson Brown maybe being more involved in this offense if the other guys can't get it done. Look for him. He was a reliable. He came in with some big catches in the Arkansas State game, and it was just a huge guy in our offense when our offense needed to get moving. So look for him to be a guy who we can find coming off this bye week for the rest of the season to be an impact guy. Number two for me is to create more pressure. Like, we were getting to the quarterback in Arkansas State. It's just we're just a step slower. If we can get there just like a half step faster, we can start creating more pressure and maybe getting a few more sacks. Third is definitely forcing more turnovers. The more times that this offense is on the field and we can get extra possessions, the better. I think, you know, the problem that this the defense has had of having with mobile quarterbacks, a lot of people have been frustrated by that. I also think that could be because of fatigue. So we'll have to see.
But shaping up for, like, throughout the bye week, I think everybody's refreshed, and hopefully everybody's gotten their heart medication, and they've got their health insurance ready lined up, because, boy, oh, boy, I can't wait for this next three-week stretch where who knows where, like, where Iowa State's going to be taking my my health.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we're talking about maybe – I mean, with every game we win, I just think – it's going to be crazy because we're going to be like scoreboard watching to see who falls, who falters. This is going to be a great, great season of Big 12 football, Cody.
Yeah, not just that. I mean, we talk about Saturday. Dude, the games at the same, like basically at the same time, like on the same day as us is going to be nuts. Real quick, just a sneak preview onto what to expect coming up on the Saturday. Obviously, we mentioned Iowa, Indiana earlier at 2:30. On Friday, you have TCU traveling to Arizona State, Houston traveling to Corvallis to take on Oregon State. But man, oh man, I mean, I'm looking at like some of these games, some of these interesting games here. Number four, LSU travels to number 13, Ole Miss. You have number 21, USC traveling to number 23, Illinois. That's the big noon kickoff game. Big noon, so might be watching that. Indiana will be traveling to Iowa. That one will be really fun to watch. But then you have right around the same time as our game, Arizona-Iowa State. Number six, Oregon travels to travels to Happy Valley to face the Whiteout and the number three, Penn State Nittany Lions. And then at that same time, too, number 17, Alabama travels to number five, Georgia. So...
Oh, baby, it's going to be a great weekend of football next week.
Yeah, not to mention, in the nightcap, number 25 BYU travels to Colorado. I know, obviously, I'm going to be obviously at the stadium, and I'm going to be locked in to Iowa State. But, man, I might be, like, multitasking, probably going to pull up my phone, hopefully with enough battery in it, to be watching, like, some of those other games, like whether it's Oregon, Penn State, or Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah. It's going to be a crazy weekend. And with that, thank you guys for joining us on the Believe in Iowa State podcast tonight. We appreciate your support. Few things before we go. You can find us on social media. We have 6 months of social media that we're on. We're on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Twitch. You can find us on Twitter, Tyler, me at SideTieGuy. Cody can be found at Faux Matt Campbell. And also, programming note, we will be doing a joint show with Believe, with the host from Believe in Arizona. So be prepared for a preview show as scheduled on Thursday at 6 p.m. We cannot wait to see you there. So with that, for Tyler Carter
and for Cody Van Steele,
this is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Go Cyclones.